Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
This morning, 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1, and I want to give you a little thought out of here today. I've used these verses before, but I want to give you something today that the Lord gave me yesterday, and I normally don't prepare my Sunday message on Saturday. Usually it's prepared way before Saturday, and I just couldn't get no direction this week. And yesterday the Lord really, I sat over in the fellowship hall, and the Lord kindly centered my heart into where I was supposed to be at this morning. And all throughout the night last night, I might as well just got up and went and sat on the couch. I don't know if you've ever had nights like that, but he kept me up pretty much all night, and I'm all right with that. I like it when he does that, amen. And I just want to brag on him a minute this morning. And we do owe him everything. Lord sure is good to us, amen. 2 Peter chapter number 1, I want you to stand in honor and reverence the reading of the Lord's Word, if you don't mind, this morning. And I want to read two verses. I'm not going to take the time to really deal with everything that's going on in the chapter. I want to just give you a topical thought this morning. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle," here's what he says, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." He said, "I want to stir you up. I want to start something in you, stir something up that's in you. And the way I want to do that is by putting you in remembrance." Father, I love you. God, I need your help tonight, this morning, God. I pray that over the next little bit, God, that I would bring glory and honor to your name. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me, God, just to give you the praise for what you've done. God, I thank you this morning. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm not going to hell today. Thank you, Lord, that if anything happened to me, I have a blessed assurance deep down inside my soul that I know where I'll spend eternity. God, thank you, Lord, for not only saving me, thank you, God, for calling me to preach and helping me worthy of putting me in the ministry. Thank you for Amazing Grace Baptist Church and every person that's sitting here today. Lord, I pray, God, that they would get help from your word. Save that sinner closest to hell. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I remember, and some of you have heard me say this before, but I remember as a boy growing up, the very first part of my life, we lived in a little place called Rhonda, North Carolina. Probably a lot of you has never heard of Rhonda. It's just before getting to Roaring River and just on the other side of Elkin. It's a little place called Rhonda. They used to have a cheer factory in Rhonda. My mom and dad worked there for years. But anyway, we grew up in a little brick house that mom and dad built. And I'll never forget, we had an orange leather. It really wasn't leather, but an orange pleather, if you want to look at it that way. Sofa in there, or not sofa, but recliner in there. And there was a fireplace insert in that house. And that was the way that we heated the house a lot. And I remember as a boy, we'd wake up in the mornings and, man, it would be cold in there. And me and my sister would go get in that chair, and we would sit in that chair. And Dad had built a fire the night before. But that morning, it seemed that the fire was out. It seemed that there was no fire in that insert. And my dad would take some kindling. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. My dad would take those little pieces of wood, and he would open that fireplace up, that the doors to that fireplace, that insert, and there was a little piece laying or hanging over on another little piece there beside the stove, and there was a broom on it and a little shovel on it, and then there was this little piece on it, and it was called a poker. Anybody ever heard of a poker or know what a poker is? my dad would open those doors and it would look like all the fire was out, and he would take that poker and he would begin to stir around in there. And as he stirred around in there, he would throw that kindling in. And in just a little bit, something would happen. Daddy didn't take a match and start another fire, because actually deep down inside of that was some coals that was still burning. But Daddy would take that poker and he would stir around in there and put a little bit of kindling on it. And before long, you know what would begin to happen? That fire would begin to blaze again. And as that fire began to blaze again, he would close the door, turn the fan on, and the house would get warm. The day I got saved, God lit a fire inside my soul. Can I just say it that way today? God done something for me that I've never got over. But every once in a while along the way, I become discouraged. Every once in a while along the way, something happens and I get defeated. Can I get an amen right there? Every once in a while along the way, troubles happen, sorrows happen, and a lot of times we really don't understand why things happen and the way that they do, or why they even happen within themselves. But we must know this, that if we're saved, God's got a plan in all of it. And what happens in our life, man, that fire that was once burning in our soul begins to dwindle down. And it's not that we lose our salvation. Somebody give me an amen right there. But what happens, our fire begins to go down. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take the poker of remembrance and stir you up a little bit. Let's just walk down memory lane for a few minutes this morning. Yesterday, Jonathan and Amy, man, they had a beautiful wedding. And something that was so interesting about it, the gospel was preached at it. And I'm telling you, man, it was great. And a lot of people don't know this, but Brother Jonathan, that Miss Amy married, his mom, I grew up with his mom and all of her siblings. There was about 7 or 8 of them. And it was the Bulin family there in Courtney that I grew up with. Matter of fact, we was trying to remember yesterday, it was around 86 or 87, and some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, but back in the 1900s, back about 1986 or 1987, their dad got saved at Turner's Creek Baptist Church where I grew up at, and my dad pastored. Matter of fact, he came, we was in the old arbor behind the building, a little white building behind the sanctuary that they had while we was doing the first renovation on the new, or on the sanctuary there, and he got saved, and he began to bring his family to church. He would fill the whole back row every service at Turner's Creek Baptist Church with all of his family. And we grew up together. Matter of fact, Johnny, one of the boys, I'll never forget, we was in a front-wheel drive car one day, and he said, "Did you know you can do donuts in a front-wheel drive car?" And I said, "Johnny, you can't do donuts in a front-wheel drive car." He said, "Well, watch this." Yeah, I like it when people says that. So he put it in reverse, and he revved it up. He turned the steering wheel off. Boys, don't try this, okay? Some of you teenage boys, I already see your mind turning right now. And Brother Jonathan, he put it in reverse. He turned the steering wheel. He tacked it up and dumped the clutch on it. And we done reverse donuts that day. It was the coolest thing, man. I was about 14 years old. That was the coolest thing. We said and we talked about all of the memories of our childhood growing up. Johnny came in and Johnny had a rat tail. And y'all remember those days, some of y'all do, that lived back in the 1900s. And Johnny had a rat tail, and he kept it hid from his daddy. Johnny came in one Sunday night and sat down on the back row, and he forgot to put his rat tail down in his collar. Bill Bulin was just a country man. I'm telling you, he's just a country man. He came in, and Johnny was sitting there, and Brother Lloyd Beal walked up to him and seen that and grabbed it. And held it where Johnny couldn't go nowhere, and reached down in his pocket and got his pocket knife out and cut it off sitting on the back row of the church and throwed it up in his lap. Man, we walked down memory lane. We talked about killing hogs, and they had one they shot 18 times one time, and then it still got up off the trailer. We talked about that. Man, it was just so good. It was so good. And I told him, I said, you know, we talked about, some of y'all will understand, we talked about cruising. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember, man, we used to go to Yadkinville, and you'd leave from the plaza, and you'd turn left, and you'd go out, and whenever you got underneath the bridge, if you had loud pipes on your car, whenever you went underneath the bridge, a new 421, you'd push a clutch in, rev it up, or push it up in neutral and rev it up. Then you'd go down, you'd turn left beside the service station, and go down around McDonald's and come back up and come back to the plaza. I mean, that was a Friday night in Yadkinville, man. And you know what they thought then? That was so awful. If they would bring it back, a lot of our kids would stay out of trouble. You knew where to find everybody on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night after church in Yadkinville. It was at the plaza. Now, we talked about all that, and it was good. And I was sitting there, and we began to talk about when his daddy got saved. We began to talk about when some of them got saved. And I just began to think about memory lane. And the Lord brought these verses to my mind. You know what Peter said? He said, I want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Can I just remind you of a few things this morning? Can we just take a minute and be reminded of a few things? Number one, I say this. Can I remind you of the prayers that God has answered? Can I just remind you of the prayers that God has answered? Boy, God has answered some big prayers for us right here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. Even beyond here, I can look back in my life at the prayers that God has answered. And you know what? When I get down, when I get out, when I get discouraged, when I get defeated, when I feel like throwing in the towel and quitting, you know what I have to do? I have to walk back down the aisle or walk back down the road, walk back down memory lane, and realize all the prayers that God has answered for me. Can I give you a few this morning? It was a cold winter day. It was December 24th, 2014. Me and Miss Leslie and Greg and Lisa Cass Stevens were sitting at our house. They had stopped by to give us some things for Christmas that day. The phone rang. Whenever the phone rang, I told them, I said, I'm sorry. I said, but this individual don't call me all the time. I said, do y'all mind if I answer this phone call? And can I just give you a timeout? Man, don't be so rude when somebody's trying to talk to you that you're constantly looking at your smartwatch or your phone. Listen, engage in the conversation, okay? I said, do y'all mind if I answer this? And they said, no, go ahead. I answered it, and it was Miss Debbie Howitt. She said, preacher, something's wrong with Brother Joe. And I said, okay. She said, he's got a bad headache. She said, we can't get it to ease off. She said, we're going to the hospital, and I'll let you know something in just a little while. I said, all right then. It wasn't no time at all. Matter of fact, Greg and Lisa were still at the house. My phone rang again, and I said, hey, I might order to get this. It's Miss Debbie. Let me see what she says. She said, preacher, if there's any way you can get to Northern Hospital, please get here. She said, Joe's having a major stroke, and we don't know what all's going on. They're fixing to send him to Winston. Preacher, please get here. He's starting to be unresponsive. So me and Greg jumped in the truck, took off up the road. I'll never forget, I walked into Northern Hospital. He was in the trauma side on the left. He was on the second bed, Brother Brian, whenever we went in. I walked in there, and for just a minute, I think Brother Joe realized who I was and talked to me. And I said, Brother Joe, I said, we're going to pray together, and they're here to leave with you, Brother Joe. You got to go. I said, but we're going to pray together. I got a hold of Miss Debbie's hand, got a hold of Brother Joe's hand, and we prayed, God, may your will be done, but Lord, if you'd touch him, we sure would appreciate it. They loaded Brother Joe up. Y'all, a lot of y'all that was here then, remember, I'd done a call them all, said that Brother Joe's going to Forsyth. It's not good. He's very critical. And they took off. Make a long story short, I went to the hospital also. I got there, and whenever I got there, Miss Debbie came out and met me, and she said, preacher, they're rushing him into surgery. It's not good. They don't know if he'll make it. And I'll never forget, we were standing there, and this guy walked in about this tall, and he had a sweater tied around his neck. And I thought, well, who is this? And he said, I'm Dr. Brown. And I thought, you're the one that's going to save his life. Is it? Now, don't y'all, Miss Debbie, you felt the same way, didn't you? And he began to talk to us, and he said, this is very critical. We don't know if Brother Joe will make it through the surgery. Or he didn't say Brother Joe. He said Mr. Howell will make it through the surgery. We're just preparing you. We prayed again. They rolled Brother Joe away. We went and sat down in that waiting room. And within about an hour and a half, I can't tell you how many people from Amazing Grace were sitting in that waiting room that Christmas Eve night. Matter of fact, I think it was Matt and Mandy that came in with the Krispy Kreme donuts. Boy, we were so thankful for that. And we sat there, and I got assigned the duty of answering the phone. Boy, I didn't want to answer that phone because I'm telling you, I thought every time it rang, they was going to say, Brother Brian, Brother Joe was dead. And they would say, surgery started. A little bit of time went by. Surgery's going okay. Surgery's going okay. The phone would ring and everybody would look at me. I'd go to the phone. They would all follow me over there and try to get up to hear me. And I would think, why didn't you just answer it? I don't want to hear what they got to say. I'd answer the phone and then I would report to everybody sitting there. After several hours that night, they called and said, we're done. Somebody will come out to get you in a little bit. And hung up. And I thought, oh no. Brother Joe's died during surgery. You know, usually they'll say everything's went good, this or that and the other. They come and got us, and me and Miss Debbie and their kids walked into that recovery room, and I bet it was as big as this building is. And when the door that we walked in all the way down on the other end looked like a bed about this big with a man about this big on it. That's how big it looked like it's forever across there. There was no tubes. There was no respirator. And I'm telling you, in my mind, I'd already prepared. How am I going to tell the family that the Lord decided to take Brother Joe home? He's just had a major brain surgery. How am I going to tell him that? He has nothing hooked to him. I know the nurse is going to look at me because I'm the preacher and I've been answering the phone. I'm supposed to have all the answers, and I really just wanted to lay down on the floor and cry myself because that was my buddy laying on the bed. Boy, everybody was praying, and I walked over there. Whenever I walked over there, that doctor come walking out. He said, all I know to say is, but God. He said, I can't explain it. He said, but everything went all right. Matter of fact, Joe took his hand and reached over and got Miss Debbie's hand and began to hold her hand. You say, preacher, when you get tired and give out and want to throw in the towel, what are you reminded of? I'm reminded of those days in the midnight hours when I cried out to a thrice holy God and he heard my prayers and answered them. I say, God, remind me of the prayers that you've answered for me. I thought about this. I'll not spend long on this, but I thought about this a Saturday night. June of 2016 at Northwood Baptist Church, about 100 people gathered together because that Monday we was fixing to start youth camp. And I stood before those workers that night that was going to be working the next week, and I said, hey, look, I'm not interested in just having youth camp. I sure would love to see God sweep through the hearts of our young people and do something special this week. 5 weeks later, we stopped that meeting. There was 214, over 200 that got saved, about 214 that got saved. There was 12 preachers called out of it. You say, preacher, what do you do? I do this. I say, God, remind me of the prayers that you answered. I thought about this. We started this building. Whenever we started this building, we standing right up there one morning or one afternoon. Brother Brian Parker was standing up there with me. He said, preacher, he said, I got a prayer request for you. I said, okay, Brother Brian. I said, what's that? Is this okay this morning? Sometimes we just need to be reminded. I said, Brother Brian, I said, what's the prayer request? And he said, Cheyenne. And I said, well, Cheyenne, sweet girl. She's here somewhere. I seen her in the choir. There she is. Wave at me, Cheyenne. I said, Cheyenne, sweet girl, what do we need to pray for her for? He said, preacher, she's not saved. And I said, she's not saved. And he said, no. He said, she's told us she's not saved. Said, preacher, would you please help me pray that God would save Cheyenne? I said, yes, sir. I said, me and Miss Leslie's going to help you pray about that. Boy, we went to praying. God, would you touch Cheyenne's heart? March the 5th, 2023, we were still over in the old building. That Sunday morning was packed, the pew Sunday. We had 72 first-time visitors that Sunday morning. Man, the church was packed out. The choir was packed out. We had seats set everywhere. Some of y'all remember that day. We dismissed that Sunday morning, and that Sunday night we came back, and the service began to get on a little bit. And I began to exhort and began to give an invitation, and all of a sudden, guess what happened? Cheyenne broke out and come running down the aisle and fell in the altar, squalling and crying. And guess what happened that night? She got saved by the grace of God. She was standing up here in the choir singing and smiling this morning. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Man, when you feel like quitting and you feel like throwing in the towel, why don't you just walk back down memory lane and remember what God's done for you? I thought about this March the 8th, 2023. We was in the middle of this building, and y'all remember there was a great big ugly mud hole in front of this building. It's a great big retention pond out there that we had to build. And I told Brother Lloyd, I hate it. And he said, we got to do it. And I said, what if we don't do it? He said, we won't build. And I said, well, I guess we got to do it then. There's all kinds of drains all around this place. And we was to get rid of that, we was going to have to put a bio cell underground. And when Brother Granville started pricing it all out, it was going to be right at $100,000 just for that bio cell to go underground. Not counting any labor, not counting anything putting it in, we ended up estimating it around $150,000 to $160,000 to get rid of a mud hole in the yard. And boy, I'm telling you, it looked awful. I called Brother Lloyd and I said, what are we going to do? He said, well, preacher, there ain't much we can do. I said, but we got to be able to do something. I said, man, we can't afford to do that. We just can't afford to do that. He said, well, I'll tell you what we can do. He said, I don't normally recommend this. He said, but we can call the state and have the state inspector to come out. And I was thinking in the backside of my mind, oh, no. Because you're not supposed to move dirt but so far and so much and all that, and we're just not going to go into all that. And I said, well, I tell you what, Lloyd, set the appointment up. He said, okay. He said, I'll set the appointment up. I called several. Matter of fact, I told the church, we're meeting on this day. Please take some time and fast and pray that God would do a miracle. I'll never forget. We didn't have $150,000 more dollars. We couldn't afford to borrow $150,000 more dollars. I'm just telling you, you that was on the financial committee and bill, you know that. Boy, I prayed about that thing, and I prayed. You say, preacher, why'd you pray about it? Because I wanted to see God do something. I'll never forget. All this was still gravel then. She pulled up, the lady that was the inspector, and got out. We walked around, and she talked to the engineer a minute, and then she told me, she said, walk me around and show me what you want to do. And I walked around and showed it to her, and I said, I just don't understand why this won't work, ma'am, which I was very kind to her. To make about an hour and a half short, she came back, looked at the engineer, and she said, draw it the way he says draw it. And the engineer was not rude, but according to all of their things, the way it's all supposed to go, it just wasn't supposed to go that way, was it, Brother Lloyd? And she looked at him and said, we're going to do it the way the preacher says do it. When I get tired and when I feel like throwing in the towel and I feel like quitting, you know what I do? I go back to that day and I stand right out there in that yard where that big hole is at. And I go, thank you, Lord, for the day that you heard our prayer and saved our church over $150,000. Lord, I just bless your name. I thought about this. I'm getting close. I thought about, we just need to be reminded every once in a while. I thought about this. in the middle of building this, Brother Heath came up to us. And he said, the Lord wants me to go pastor. And I said, you need to go talk to him again. Brother Heath was our youth pastor. He was a huge help to me. I said, you need to go talk to him again. He came back and said, I did. And he said the same thing. I said, well, you need to go talk to him again. He said, preacher, I really believe that's what the Lord wants. I said, do you believe it or know it? There's a difference there. He said, I know it. And I said, okay. God sent him out to pastor. We finished the building. When we got the building done, I told him, will you come start playing softly? I told Miss Leslie, I said, we need a youth leader. I said, our youth is struggling. I said, I can't do everything. And can I just say this? It's a good day if you're a leader in your life when you realize you can't do everything. I said, honey, we was trying to do youth outings, and I said, we just can't do it. And I remember one day I looked over at her, and I said, I got a man on my heart. I said, but there's no way he'll ever come to Amazing Grace. I'd called some Bible colleges. I'd called several other preachers and talked to them about other men, but I just never could get no peace on it. So I called the deacons together and the trustees together, and I said, hey, men, I'm going to give you a guy's name, and I know you probably don't know him. Brother Robert did. I said, but you probably don't know him. I said, but would you help me pray about him coming to be our youth leader? And they said, okay. I said, his name's Elijah Childers. I said, he's a good young man, loves the Lord, he's married. And I said, I don't know why. I said, but the Lord's put him on my heart. And I said, I don't think there's no way. I don't think there's no way we'd ever have him here at Amazing Grace. I just don't see it happening. I said, but would you help me pray about it? We prayed about it a while. Here's what I told Miss Leslie. I said, I believe if God wants him here, God will put him here. I won't have to go see him. I won't have to go talk to him. I won't have to say, hey, we'll do this, this, or this. I believe if God wants him at Amazing Grace, God will put him at Amazing Grace. You know what? It was just a few weeks after I talked to the deacons, the trustees. One Sunday, Brother Elijah and Miss Maddie just showed up at the church. They began visiting. We went to the cafe, and y'all have heard me say this, but every once in a while we just need to be reminded. We went to the cafe and sat down and started eating one Saturday afternoon. And after we got done eating, we began talking. And to make a long story short, we ended up leaving there and coming back here. And he told me, he said, preacher, he said, I don't know why. He said, but the Lord for some reason is drawing us to Amazing Grace. Boy, I sat over there and cried and cried and cried. And I told him what the Lord had put in my heart and what I'd already been talking to our men about. And he looked at me and he said, you're the reason I've been going through all of this. Can I just remind you this morning? Can I give you another one? Several years ago, he said, I think it meet to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. It's okay just to walk down memory lane a minute. Several years ago, Miss Tanya come up to me. She said, preacher, I need you to pray about something. I said, okay. She said, no, I'm being serious. And I said, okay, Miss Tanya. I said, sit down. Let's talk what you want to pray about. And she said, preacher, I don't think Addie's saved. She said, when she's just a little bitty girl in youth church one Sunday morning, she said she got saved. She said, but preacher, I'm telling you, I don't think she's saved. And I looked at her and I said, well, you know what? Our spirit bears witness. I said, because when I preach hard sometimes and conviction sets in, I said, Addie's in trouble. And I said, I've wondered in the backside of my mind what was wrong. Brother Josh ended up walking up, and he said, preacher, would you please help us pray that God would save Addie. And I said, let's just pray together now. So we prayed. And for several years, we didn't tell everybody in the church, but for years, several years, we'd pray every week, God, would you speak to Addie's heart? God, would you convict Addie? Well, September the 8th, this past year, you know what happened? On Sunday morning, Addie had took all she could take. She came out, come running to an altar, and got saved that Sunday morning. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I just want to say this to you this morning. Sometimes we just need to walk down memory lane. As I sat here this morning, I look and I see, yep, there's that one that said, preacher, would you help me pray about this? There's that one that said, preacher, would you help me pray for my home? And I watched God put the home back together. Preacher, would you help me pray for my spouse? And I seen God save the spouse. Preacher, would you help me pray for my kids? And we saw God save their kids. Preacher, what are we going to do? We're out of room. We're out of room. What are we going to do? I sat down with Brother Mark, and I said, Brother Mark, we got to do something. And I said, we just can't afford $1 million. I said, we can't do it. I said, we're out of room in the church. Brother, I'll never forget where we sitting at. Brother Mark said, I got somebody you need to talk to. I said, okay. I said, let's talk to him. We sat down and talked to the man that was the contractor on this building. And we watched God, Brother Lloyd, just time after time after time. We ended up moving into this building, remodeling everything else that was here, doing all of this paving, done every bit of that for just a little over $600,000. Let me tell you the reason why. Somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. Somebody prayed. Hey, are you weary this morning? Just remember those things that God's already done for you. He said, I just want to stir you up. You said, preacher, that's not much this morning. Well, that's what's on my heart. Every once in a while, we just need to be reminded what he has done, where he has brought us from. Can I tell you about the greatest prayer request he ever answered? In my life, the greatest prayer request he ever answered. Can I tell you about it? It wasn't a prayer that I prayed. It was a prayer that my mama prayed and my daddy prayed. And you know what that prayer was? That prayer was for their son to get saved and God to put their son into ministry. The greatest prayer that's ever been answered for me was the prayer that my mom and daddy prayed that God would save me. I'm going to ask you something today. Did you come in tired? I know I've preached to the saved or talked to the saved. Just remember what he's done. Just remember those times he touched you, those prayers he's answered, that power that he's give you to walk through those dark times in your life. Sometimes we just need to be, oh, we could talk all day. I could go down there and get 3 Bibles that's got dates after dates wrote in them. I could get Brother Elijah and Miss Maddie to bring the Bible that I prayed about the Lord sending them to hear on and read dates out of it that's wrote in the back of it. Sometimes we just need to say, I owe it all to you, Lord. Why wouldn't I serve him? Why wouldn't I live for him? Why wouldn't I give him the things? He said, I just want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. By putting you in remembrance. Can I ask you this question? We're going home. It's 5 after 12. I told you about that greatest prayer request in my life that God ever answered was the prayer my mom and daddy prayed for me to be saved. Can you say that that prayer request has been answered for you? Because somebody has prayed for you. Somebody's prayed for you to be saved. Somebody's touched heaven and asked God to touch your life. Has that request been answered for them? If not, it sure would be a good day for that request to be answered. I promise you, God will save you and change your life.